Architecture Talks, the podcast about architecture from Jung.
London or Ghent?
It's always a hard choice. I must say both are the perfect combination. First, London, because it's a great city for networking, for inspiration, and to be the most creative in the design industry. Ghent, because it's my hometown. I've got there one of my projects that I still hold a lot in my heart. It's the very calm and peaceful part that we don't have in the busyness of London. So great combination. But mostly London, as always.
Opulence or sustainability?
Definitely sustainability. It's a word for me that has been used a lot. I would more say building beautifully, for example, like using with local materials, local craftsmanship, and also their resources. When I mean resources, it's all the furniture, all the old items that they could have available locally. Opulence is never something that has been close to me because I tend to not decorate, but bring places to life by handpicking great materials and objects.
Technology or craftsmanship?
Craftsmanship, because I believe that we were doing great things centuries ago and buildings are still standing. So let's continue with that. Though we cannot get out of technology, which we still need. And definitely, I think that technology has bring us a great push in terms of visibility and knowledge of different brands.
Geraldine D'Ogna can tell you a lot about what happens when each project begins with thinking outside the box. She runs a global interior design firm with projects spanning the entire world, from Vietnam to Namibia and Belgium to Nepal. But no two details are alike, because the design's the result of a deep dive into the local culture, searching for and finding old materials and craft techniques and linking nature and technology. Her journey into interior design began through a chance encounter that led to the discovery of her passion and intuition for designing spaces. These include spaces that change other people's lives, but which also stand for a harmony of inspiration and tradition. How easily space can become an atmospheric place of power is what we, Amelia Kane and Deanna Slavic, will talk about today with Geraldine D'Ogna in our podcast.
Hello and welcome to today's Jung Architecture Talk podcast. We're so glad to have you with us today, Geraldine.
Me too. Hello to both of you. I'm really happy to be part of this little chat, this little podcast.
Me too.
You were interior design director at Zanier Hotels for 13 years and started your own business in 2020. Very brave, we have to say. But another detail is even more exciting. You originally had a degree in international business. How did you get into interior design?
I think it was like naturally. I didn't really plan this in my whole journey. I always loved to discover. I think that you need a very important characteristic is curiosity to create, because you always have to put yourself in question, think again and again, how can I make it this better? Ideal every of the projects, like if it was one of my projects, of course, by taking in account what the final client and customer wants. But I involve myself, and until I'm happy and 100% not happy, but I would say 100% convinced with what I'm bringing as material or as a color or as a full scheme, I don't leave it. I just continue. And this has always been since I was young. So I think it came like really naturally. I had the chance to do that through my previous job, and it shifted naturally more and more, getting involved and the sense of detail. So that is how it all happened.
Starting your own business in a pandemic year is really brave. Would you say your plan worked out?
First of all, when you start your own business, you plan it way ahead. It's a long thinking because you have to jump into it. And I think we all pass years of thinking and years of saying, ooh, will we be brave enough? Will it work? So the pandemic hit at that time. I think that like when you start anything in life, you've got a process of moving forward, making it working, which happened in the year of the pandemic. So yeah, I think from a professional and a personal point of view, because it's not only about professional, it worked out quite well. We're working on a very nice project now that all have a specific place in my heart. We have the opportunity, as you said before, to work on a wonderful project in Nepal, which is a high altitude, 3,000 meters in a tiny village of 200 inhabitants, an old Panas restoration. We have a couple of projects ongoing in Belgium, in the countryside, but also in city center. So again, historical buildings at the same time, countryside connecting with nature, and a beautiful project in London, a city that I always loved.
The name of your studio is Beyond Design. Does the name state your studio's aim to go beyond design?
In fact, it's our leitmotiv. We tend to call ourselves like Geraldine Doen Design, but Beyond Design is our leitmotiv. And this comes from the fact that we believe that we have to push our boundaries and go further than design. Design is making a space look nice, if I may say. For me, going beyond, it's making the space look comfortable, mm-hmm. comfortable in the sense where you want to stay, where you can feel at home, if it's residential or hospitality, and going into every little small detail. Often, if we take an example of hospitality, you enter a hotel room, you've got a couple of amenities. Which amenities can we bring on the top, make you feel even more comfortable and more at home? So yeah, this is what we try to do. I took the example of details, but it's also through the materials, through everything, where we try to find new alternatives every time.
Focus on one thing and try to do the best. This phrase came up in our preliminary conversation. Can you give us a practical example of this guiding principle in action?
When you start a project, there is a story behind. Like, it's not only from our point of view, it's not only like, okay, we have these materials, these furniture, these details, let's put everything in this house or in this hotel. No, we have to first create a whole story. And this is the one thing that we will focus on. So always keeping this story in mind and leading it to the end. Often as a project goes, you have to change the materials, you have to change some ideas. It has to involve all the time. But never get away of that first idea, because otherwise your whole story will break and you will feel it throughout the project.
You approach each project differently. And I really personally like the way you're going this way. So the first way is going to the flea market, tasting the specialties of the region, and let yourself be inspired by the surrounding nature before creating the first sketch. Take us with you on your journey. At what point does an idea start to form in your head?
First of all, in a project, or you can have an existing building, or you can have a piece of land. From there, it's already too different. From a building already existing, your ideas can start and forge. If your land was used for farming before or whatever, it can also forge your idea. If it was just a piece of land, then you have to go more deeper in research. But every time you can have one idea, and then it just gives throughout this journey around the country or around the area, it gets filled in with all these little details that you can find on the road on your travel journey. If I take a recent trip like I did in Nepal, it's an old palace from the 16th century. So you start making some research and then you travel the country. You see, okay, they were using a lot of wood, but in the country, you will learn how they would carve the wood, what they are able to do. And from there, you start building. Okay, with that wood, I'm able to do that. I can do columns to hold the palace, recreate these different areas, or are they able to make furniture out of it? That maybe no. So let's find another idea. And this is how the ideas start to grow little and little. You go and taste the great food they have and the drinks. And from there, you look at every pan and everything that's on the table and you just take it and make it like to recreate the space.
We found one wonderful quote in an interview with you. In London, I never go to the same restaurant more than once. It keeps my taste buds and curiosity sharp. That is a good tip for our audience, right?
I still do it. There are only four. I went two or three times already, but in 4 years, I think it can work. But I still continue doing that, like every time. And everybody knows, okay, we go out, let's leave Geraldine with a pick and then a suggestion because we know she wants to try new places. I think it's the best thing because otherwise life is all about comfort. We talked about it before. If you wanted to move forward and push a bit your boundaries, you have to get out this comfort zone.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's easy to go back to one of my favorite restaurants every time in London and have the great same food. But no, let's try to push further. And it leads to a couple of disappointments, but it's really okay. At least you know what you don't want to do.
There we go. There we go.
I'd love to know what your favorite restaurants are, Geraldine.
I can share now if you want. No, I still had one that I love in Shoreditch, Brat, which stays one of my favorites. And then recently I did Firebird near Tottenham Court, which was really, really good. So yeah, I have a couple on my list. In Notting Hill, I think there are great places popping up, like the Pelican or Zephyr or things like that, that are also very, very good.
Good to know. Thank you.
Yeah. Pleasure.
We always look beyond the obvious. You work in different countries with heterogeneous cultural environments. How do you create places that are appropriate for the local context, but also attractive to travelers?
I think that travelers are looking for experiences, which is a very large word again. Experiences can be felt in different ways. So the first thing often when you travel is how can you really live the country? Often you stay in properties and you don't really know where you are. I think this is the first thing that the guests are looking for today. Also, I think that even if you do, we're talking hospitality, but a residential project, you want to feel where you are also, because often these people tend to have one or two houses. So if they have a city center, they want to feel the city center vibe and the country where they are and then the countryside. So I think this is one of the first thing that the customer is looking for and is attracted by. They are looking also, I go back to this word comfort that I use a lot, but to all these details and comfort, you can feel it also by the look and feel. So see like warm colors, materials. It doesn't have to be like overcrowded or opulent, as you were saying before, but it just has to be the right balance. Mm-hmm. And also, like, if people can experience a bit the history of the place, so you see that you can construct a house in how they were living before, or you use the materials, or, you know, customers also love to come and handpick objects and go home with the object to bring a souvenir and very local object. So I think that bringing that, it appeals the customer rather than attracting him. He is directly interested in staying in places like that. And it goes even beyond because you can have an amazing land, you can do the best design, but the people that after interact, operate the property are part of the whole story. And this is where it links to food, wellness, well-being. I tend to use well-being because for me, sports is as important as spa today. But also to how you are welcome, all these little details.
How can you implement design authentically throughout the world? What does it mean to be at home worldwide for you?
Being at home is when you open a door and you say, ooh, I feel good. And I feel how I want to be and how I can be who I want to be. Like live, I have my little hook to read my newspaper in the morning. And then at the same time, the other person can be on the terrace looking at the sunrise. You can go and do your fitness. You can go and have a breakfast along the beach if you're near the beach or in a nice cafe downstairs. So I think this is like home. It's making the guest feel how they want to be. And this is how I would express the definition of home and having this feeling like I want to go back in my room. And not stay on the beach all day if you're in a beach resort.
It sounds so easily explained, but I think it's really hard to be that easy designed.
Design is like every job, you have amazing parts, harder parts. I think the creative part is quite inspiring. You can find great ideas. It's not easy to find the ideas because you do one project, it's the first one, let's go for it. But then when there are different ones, you always have to find these new ideas that are quite hard. But once you have them, the story behind and everything, it's more flowing. I must say that one of the biggest constraints that we have now is about pricing, because everything raised so much in price. Before, you could do really nice things at an affordable price. If it's hospitality or residential, it's the same. It's a business in the end. Private people do an investment. Hospitality, they want a return on investment. It's the same. So they're all very cautious on spending. And this is the most difficult part of a business nowadays, I must say.
Would you say that the culture clash is easier to implement in the hotel design, or are the wishes of the private clients in the meantime also transferable?
I think it's easier in the hospitality industry because it's dedicated to many people. You create a project and you hold to it. Whereas residential, you've got the heart of the clients that stay in general much more involved. And the clients are generally well-traveled. They brought a bit of pieces from everywhere. So you have more this mix of culture in the house, which is great too, because in the end, instead of having maybe one culture, you face 10 different cultures. It's just about making them work together. And this is the main challenge, which can be made quite easily. But this is like, I must say, the difference.
Your projects can't be pigeonholed. You balance opulence with luxury and sustainability, and cover everything from a huge private villa in London to a project in the Belgian Ardennes that connects existing buildings with biophilic design. How can design solve and/or connect the challenges?
We face more and more this administration where people tend to prefer to have the old contrasting completely with the new and the contemporary side. Before, we were trying to continue the old, whereas nowadays, they tend to push to have the difference. So you can have a great old building, like in the middle of the countryside in Ardennes, which has his history from a couple of centuries ago, and you can maintain that. And then you can build around it. You can bring in cottages. I say bring in because we try to be very light on impact on the nature. You can bring in much more contemporary cottages that contrast with this old house, and it works perfectly. It's just about blending it into the nature. Also, when you have houses, like you were talking about London, you try to keep the little ornaments or the details that were existing in the house. So it can go from a piece of stone. It can go from a ceiling cornice. There are a couple of little details. In general, it is more the outside that is listed rather than the inside. But we always try to keep these details and make them work with the new materials. And I think that the contrast of both can be really interesting. And it can also highlight the old parts, the antique parts of the buildings or of what is left from a building.
How have design requirements changed in recent years?
The economic side of a project, I think that this has evolved a lot in the recent years. I think also, in hospitality, a hotel is not anymore something where you only sleep. Before we were going to a hotel, the only thing we wanted is a great bed and great pillows. Even though I think the sleep has emphasized a lot, people are not looking anymore for a good bed and a good pillow. They're looking for a very good bed and pillow because sleep has become one of the major issues nowadays. Also, we can go back to this word of experience that we talked previously. They want to go further than that. They want the food, they want the well-being, and they want all this in one place if they can. They love also shopping. I think this is something like the little niche products, the discovery that they can find locally and bringing back home. I think it changed in that direction. There was this big discussion at one point where hotels would become co-working spaces. We have to make the spaces hybrid, and can we work there? I think it popped really at the end of the pandemic, but nowadays people are returning a bit more to travel and work separation. We see people are going more and more back to offices. So I think this changed, but definitely people don't like to sit only in a restaurant anymore. And I think this is like everyday challenge. You go in a restaurant wherever you are in the world because you can sit at a bar or at a table. because you can have a drink or you can eat, or you can even enter in the middle of the afternoon and grab whatever you want. So I think the challenge is more that nothing is secluded anymore. All the spaces have to work together and be operated all day round, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had a look on your Instagram channel before we went into our discussion here. What you are doing is a little different to the others. You're showing insights into your way of thinking, new places, the power and scent of nature, and simplicity. Others prefer to show off their luxurious suites, etc., which you could definitely show off as well. But why are you taking this different path?
I think that it all starts about the definition of luxury, maybe. Everything that I have been talking since the beginning of this podcast for me is luxury. Luxury is not about using marble for me or some gold or some bronze. Everything is as luxurious for me. It is more how it works in the space. I've been showing some suites and everything, but they're maybe not in that sense of detail like other would do it. Whereas you would find all the amenities. But I think it's just a different vision on luxury and how the spaces are designed. For me, it's more about materials. So it will be the linen, the washed linen, the earthy colors of the walls, the textures. And this is what will bring the luxury. So I think that in a sense, we are showing the same thing, but it's just that we have a different way of expressing it throughout design.
Mm-hmm. We have talked about your projects and topics. At the end of this podcast, one personal question, if we may. In 2022, you and a friend took part in the Budapest Bamako Rally as Team Turtle to raise awareness and funds for entrepreneurs in Sierra Leone. What did you take away from this adventure and what's next?
This adventure was truly amazing. I took away how amazing life can be and how there are still so many things to discover in this world and how the connection with other people is important. I knew all that, but I think it's always important to go back to it. You remember how strong you can be? Every morning you wake up between 5, 6 a.m., you receive random waypoints, you leave, and you never know when you arrive. You can take 15 hours to do 200 kilometers, whereas it can go very quick other days. It really depends. It puts you to a few challenges. It's very psychological. It reminds you that you don't only have work in life, what we tend to all forget. I still think about this rally every morning and every night. And it's funny you're asking the questions because yesterday night, in fact, we were judging because we raised money for entrepreneurship in Sierra Leone and six people presented their project, which was quite interesting to see because, again, my friend lives in Sierra Leone, but I'm living in Europe. And you see, wherever you are in the world, people have great ideas and want to bring them to life. So yeah, it brings a lot of on a personal point of view and also continue to travel, like what you can discover in countries that people say, why are you going there? You are crazy. I remember Mauritania, like one of the most beautiful countries I've ever seen in my whole life. Of course, it was not a sightseeing tour. We had a lot to process in very short time. But yeah, travel, it's just reminded me that this is the best source of inspiration for creativity. I talked about curiosity, but traveling and seeing different horizons is the best. What's next? I don't know yet. Going on a sailing trip, but this we do with my friend every year also, because her husband is a big sailor. But yeah, I would love to go back for that challenge. And one of my next trip on the bucket list is Antarctica. So this is definitely on the radar for next year.
That sounds perfect. And I think this is a very nice way, actually, to end our discussion, because everybody is now in the mood to travel and to check what might be the next destination. Thank you so much, Geraldine. This was really inspiring.
Thank you for your time. It was wonderful.
You're very welcome. It started again the new curiosity, which is fantastic. And we're definitely going to try out many more new restaurants.
Yes.
So it's a goodbye from us until the next episode of the Young Architecture Talks. Thank you.